Welcome back to the show. This is your host, David Yanis, and it is a blessed day. It is a blessed day. We're going to talk about missions. We started on something just a few weeks ago, and we started getting all these interviews, so we had to go from there. But we're back on that, and I'm excited about today's broadcast, and really, really excited only because, you know, we're talking about something that's very dear to my heart, and again, that's missions. Hallelujah. But I have a very, very dear brother. I mean, almost closer than brothers. Pastor George Vargas will be on the show with us at about 11:35, and right after the break, and he'll be on the second segment. I mean, yesterday or Tuesday, we had a great interview. I don't know if you've been tuning in, but God has blessed us this year with just to start off with some great interviews. We're changing the format just a little, and you're like, Dave, why do you keep changing the format? Why do you keep moving things around? Well, I got to tell you that my life is getting busy. And whose life is not? You're saying, Dave, that's not an excuse. What's going on? No, but for real, we're not changing the format of the show per se, but we're just changing the days that we do the shows live. And Wednesdays, you're going to be hearing from all my conventions that I've been to over the last 2 years. You're going to be hearing interviews of authors, entertainment people, everything that when I go to the ICRS and the NRB, you're going to be able to hear those interviews. I've been trying to figure out how to put those out there, how to put them in a slot. And what I do is I record them in 15-minute increments while I'm out there at the actual conventions. And everybody asks me, well, Dave, when is that going to air? When is that going to air? And I think that I have always told them it'll air soon. And it usually does. I usually come back from the convention and I'll play all these interviews again. But what I'm thinking the real value in that is having that many archive shows that have never been broadcast on the air unless you listened from 9 or 10 or 11 or 1 o'clock when we did these shows live. I mean, I really work hard at these conventions and I'm thinking, Lord, you know, to be very honest, my friends, you don't get paid to do these kind of interviews. You don't get a lot of resources. We go out there on your own expense. And I'm saying, Lord, I know it's needed because we have to have guests on the show to help promote them and help bring their audience to our broadcasting station as well. But also not only that, it's like you always want to be a blessing. You just don't want to only do your stuff. And to be very honest, I can sit here and talk to you all day, but I really feel that if I can find some good authors, some good entertainers, some people, I mean, who did we have last year that was just awesome? Marilyn Hickey for one of them. She'll be back hopefully next month. We had John Slitt, who just was on the air again. Yesterday we had, I mean, Tuesday we had Sherry Kagi, B.B. Winans, Michael Norris. The list goes on and on and on. Wallace Henley, just very, very popular. Excuse me, put some chapstick on. It's code here in Houston right now. Very cool. My lips get a little chapped. But you think about this. I don't know why I'm telling you that. You have all these authors that come on the air with us, but then we meet so many more authors that we don't get on the station live. Most of the people that you hear broadcasting are usually live broadcasting with me on the air. Like George will be on at 11. Pastor George will be on at 11:35, and we bring them into the phone through the phone system, and we do an interview with them. But a lot of the times, you're not going to get that kind of those authors that I'm at the show unless you're listening live, which is going to be, you know, some of y'all. I know a lot of you are faithful to listen at 11 o'clock and then to listen at 2 o'clock, our original slot, and you listen to the rebroadcast if you missed it. And I tell you, it's good interviews. I mean, I had Judd Hillhite. I had Larry and Tiz Hesh. And I've had plenty of people. Supposed to have Pastor Maldonado, the next one. And I had so many people. I had Henry Fernandez. So many men of God and of faith that you're gonna get something from. So I had to decide how I was gonna do this. you know, how would I make this happen? And what I decided was Tuesdays and Thursdays will be my live broadcast with my interviews from my publicists and from all my publicist friends out there that send me stuff to interview, and I'll go through the ones that I really want on the air. So Tuesdays and Thursdays. So no longer we're going to have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays. It'll be just Tuesday and Thursdays are going to be live broadcasts. And then on Wednesdays, you're going to hear the convention broadcast where we have so many different. So I have so many of those lined up. And yesterday was Michael Solomon, Judd Hillhite. We had, was it Christina Clemens? So those are three of the ones I can remember. And they're powerful. They're really good. So, and they're good interviews, just like I would do a 30-minute interview. I do a short 15-minute interview with them. And I really work my tail off, to be very honest. I do. I work it off. I just work. And it's amazing to see those people that come out there, and they're part of the broadcast. So anyway, that's going to be the only change. So stop cringing. Stop cringing. And of course, you know, Fridays is the best of the week. Whatever broadcast we have is the best of the week. And Mondays are just an older show, past year show or something that was great. And so Tuesdays, so I think with this kind of mixture, it's going to help, because I got to tell you, and something I was telling you the other day, and something we're just getting done. In fact, we have another one today, prayingly, we get this other one done. But we are pushing the Midwatch TV. Praise God. Midwatch TV, something very dear to my heart. And I tell you what, as you're faithful in something, God gives you more. And I was faithful in radio for the last 7-8 years. Not 78, please. 7 or 8 years. I've been faithful to the radio, faithful to the broadcasting, faithful to taking care of this station. And my heart has always been movies. My heart has always been TV and video. But I took care of the radio station because that's where I could start. And it did a lot for our ministry, and it's going to continue to do more. But now the TV's going, I'm so excited. We just finished putting up this banner. It's like a street, and it's our backdrop. It's a street, and it has like rain. On the camera, it looks like there's rain right behind you on the outside. So it looks like you're inside, and you know, it looks like there's always a rainy day. But I have a good friend, Jeff Pitherick, that wrote a book, Grace Like Rain. And that's Jeff's wall. Praise God. And he's been on the show several times. And he actually opened up my studio for me in my interview room in Florida when it was broken. We couldn't get in. He actually got in for us. And the maintenance couldn't even get in, but Jeff did. Anyway, there's rain, and it looks like a nice backdrop. It looks like there's a window there, and I like it. And we're going to keep it. And it's really just for the guest shot. You're still going to get my shot over me, over my shoulders. You'll see the whole set that we have built. But we're going to build another little section, too. And it's going to be themed for the seasons we're going to be for. You know, of course, all the seasons that we go through. And I'll tell you what, in Houston, we don't really go to too many seasons. But we'll theme it up with the season for the year. Whatever the nation's going through in seasons, we're going to put right there. And you just put this stuff together, and I'm excited. Really, really excited to see the things that God is doing for the show. And we are going to have a great, great broadcast. We already recorded John Schlitt. We already recorded Sherry Kagi. We're going to be recording George Vargas today. Next week, we'll record Pastor Mike Renteria. Hopefully, we keep going the way we're going. We will have at least 4 shows themed out, and then I'll finish it up and do my Midwatch show. Those shows are broadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Those shows will broadcast on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So the same way we're doing the radio, the same way we're going to do the television. The only thing with the television is not going to start till February broadcasting, and we're going to be a month ahead. And I really think that's important, especially with everything that we do, to have some shows archived. We're going to try and get 14 shows done by the end of the year, by the end of the spring, going into the summer. And then we're going to take those 14 shows, and we're going to put them around different TV stations around the nation, and just see what we can do, as well as broadcast on Revenue TV, IPTV system that we have. So those are the things that are changing, those things that we're adding. And then one more thing. We're going to do a movie 2013. We will do a movie. I'm excited about it because as soon as I was faithful. Now get this. Now you have to be faithful to what God has called you to. You may want the world, my friends. You may want the biggest ministry ever. You may want to have the greatest things in your life. You may just want a good life and a good blessing in your home. But each of those things, either if it's the dream or it's just to live a good life and to be a blessing to everyone else, it all starts off with faithfulness. Faithfulness, 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 faithfulness. If there is no faithfulness, my friends, it is not going to progress. It is not going to progress. And you see, I've had this studio here, and I built it probably about now. The summer, I think I got most of the studio finished. I got to look back at all the receipts of buying stuff. I think it was, it had to be the summer, because that's when we purchased the thing, certain things in there. And I've been building for almost 6 months to a year. It's ready. It's ready to go. But the moment I started being faithful and using it for in recording, just say I don't have all the people I need to run it, because I'll need about two or three more people. And I'm just going to be faithful to what you call me, God. I'm gonna work it. I'm gonna record what I have. I can do the Skype interviews and still use the entire set for that, or my part of the set for that. And I did. And as soon as I started doing that, God started putting something in my heart. God started saying, you know, I'm going to give you something else to do. He's given me my dream. And not, okay, I have three dreams, okay? You want to know the three dreams? Praise God. It's like, you ever see a pretty woman? And at the end of the pretty woman, Julia Roberts, Richard Gere, at the end of the show, if you just look, it's like she rides off with him, and it goes, the camera comes down. I mean, she's kissing him on the top of the stairwell of her fire escape there, and in her apartment. And then it comes, the camera comes down, and it has this gentleman walking to the street, and he, I don't know what he's selling or what he has in his hand. He goes, "Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?" And I tell you what, my friends, I have several dreams. And I'll share one of them with you. I'm not going to share all of them with you, but I'll share one of them. And I think I've shared it many a times. And two of the dreams, one is just ministry-wise, just different things. But I'm not going to go to that one today. But I'm going to tell you what one of them that I do have, and one of them that I do want to see happen. And that is, I want to make movies. I want to be out there with doing the movies, making movies, whether it's for just my IPTV system that we run a movie channel off of, or whether it's in DVDs and around the nation, or Netflix, or in Redbox, or whether it's distributed into Christian broadcasting all over the globe, or if it's broadcasted in the regular channels of things. I'll let God handle all that. Praise God. I'm just going to make the movie. How about that? And I want to make them, and I want to use whatever profits do come from there. And there will be profits. Praise God, because my hands are blessed. Everything I touch is blessed. Everything I work on makes something happen and shakes the foundations of this world. And I tell you, I believe that. And I believe that we're going to do that this year. So that's one of my dreams. And God is allowing me to step into it. Why? Because I've been faithful to what He has called me to do. Whatever He's given me, it's been faithful. And before Pastor George comes up on the air with us, I got to share with you just something he shared with me. And he, in India, I believe it was India, he said that I have been faithful, that God has told him that I have been faithful with little, and now He will give me much. It is important to be faithful to whatever God has called you to do. If God's called you to work at the job that you're working at, be faithful to it. Be faithful to it. Y'all know my story. Y'all can tell I'm a Texas broadcaster. Y'all. back in the day of, and I'm not using that term lightly, but back in the day of broadcasting, when I was at broadcasting school, because I did go to broadcasting school, Columbia School of Broadcasting, God knew that this day would come, that I'd actually have a radio show and actually have a radio station and host and run the something as this is. And back in those days, I would always get hit during the classes and during the testing and during the one-on-one interviewing with your teachers and your peers that are in the broadcasting business. You say, y'all. You say, purr, hey, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just the way I talk, and I've changed it several times. And sometimes I will catch that. Other times I won't. But, you know, today, in today's market, in today's area, it doesn't matter. You can talk however you want to talk, like that, or you can talk normal, or you can add different things, geographical things to your language. It doesn't matter because of the way communication is today. And it's a blessing. You still got to be proper, and I try and keep that to where it is. But, yes, I've been faithful I mean, even when I was at a job, just working it and working it and working it and working it, I was faithful to it. Faithful to it. And when God called me out of that job to just completely concentrate on the ministry, it wasn't a ministry where it was thriving and finances were there and things were happening. No, it was just something I was taking care of for the last 3 years while I was working this job. And it never grew to where it was growing, but it never was grown to where thousands of dollars were coming in so that I could just step out and say, praise God, I don't need to go to work anymore. No, it was a step of faith. But every time you take that step of faith, every time you walk and you step out, every time that you do something that you just trust God, you don't worry about man, you don't worry about the natural. The natural will tell you don't do it, but God is telling you to do it and you trust him. When you walk in that trust, when you step out in faith and walk, there is a powerful, powerful movement in your life. And you got to trust God. You know, recently, just to let you know, one of the other changes in my life was I no longer am associate pastor at the church that I'm at. I am just a member there, and I am just going to start doing my ministry. And it was taking up a lot of time. It was taking up too much time. It was taking up way too much time for me to do everything and to get the ministry going over there. I had to be faithful. Like I said, I'm faithful. I was there 4 years, almost five, doing the same thing for them. No matter what it was, I was there and I made myself available and God honored that. God honored that. And I'm going to see a blessing out of that timing. I am. I believe it and I completely receive it. I completely receive it that God's going to do something out of that. But I was faithful. There's something about faithfulness that God will bless. Something about just keeping your hand on the plow. I look at Joseph's life in the Bible, and I see a man that was faithful. Through accusations, through things that he knew he was just doing the good thing, the right thing every time he tried. And he couldn't control how people felt about him. He couldn't keep them happy. You're not going to please everybody. Praise God. But he was faithful, even through the hard times. And God was able, because he was faithful, to raise him up to where he wanted to be. I was telling you this last interview that I had with Sherry Kagi, that God takes those that completely believe and trust in him, and he's lifting them up in this last 2-3 years, and actually this last year and a half, to places they haven't been for years or to places that they've never been. John Slitt even said that he just seen this year just catapult him, just take him to another level, to rebrand his ministry, to rebrand, to send out his logos and his programs besides the Petra stuff, and to see God just use him in a great way, that he was preaching all over the country, all over the world, and ministering. That it just happened. It just started to move in my ministry itself. So many places we were at last year. So many things we did. 2 trips to Kenya, 1 trip to India. And we're looking at all the station stuff that we did, all the hosts that we brought in. We are excited because God has some amazing things that he's doing in our lives. He's done some great things. And like I was saying, I kind of got off the subject there, but like I was saying, this year we're going to make a movie. I am just toying with the script right now. I'm just putting it together, and I'm going to get on Kickstarter? I'm going to go on that, and we're going to see if we can get some funding through that. But I was talking to my wife last night before I went to bed, and I told her, I am not a patient man when it comes to knowing that God has called me to do something. If he has activated it, I go after it. Can you agree with that? There's times you wait until God says go. Who was on the show? Sherry was on the radio show. I don't know if it was the radio show or the TV recording that we did with her. That God gave that one of her friends, I don't remember her friend's name, but said that she usually waits until she gets her marching orders. And when she gets her marching orders, she starts working and walking in faith. And I thought that was so amazing. I mean, that's such a good way of putting it. When you wait in faith, and you hold on to God and you believe and you walk through the trials and you walk through the troubles, but you keep yourself busy and keeping yourself equipped. So when you get God's call to go forward and to go do something, you just get up and you go. You got your orders. And that is kind of what I was saying. I was talking to my wife last night. I was telling her that I'm going to put this in there. I'm going to shoot for a funding date of either the summer or September, and because those are the dates that I know that I can travel. And to do this show, I feel that we're going to be doing something that's going to be broadcasting, that's going to be shot in several locations. And I'm going to put that in there to fund in the 30 days, maybe in September. I'm praying about it. But what I'm saying is this. And she looked at me like, you're crazy. But she knows my faith as well. And I just told her, okay, I got to start getting the crew, start getting the script together so I can get a cast together, so I can get a crew together. So I get a crew together, then we can get a cast together and get locations. And before I can even get a budget, I need to get all this stuff done to figure out how much it's all going to cost and to get the script done. And then I'll put it inside Kickstarter. And when I put it in Kickstarter, it's already going to be moving. It's already going to be changing and doing things. And we're going to see some amazing things happen. And then it's either through the funding of Kickstarter or through faith, just complete faith, I'll get this picture done. But I got to put some movement into it. And I got to do my part. You see, everything that's happened in my life is because I really trust God. I really just put everything in His hands, but I do my part. I don't just stand around and look. I make sure that I have a different, make sure that I'm doing my part, make sure that I'm moving things, make sure that I'm doing everything I can. My pastor says this, do everything you can so God can do everything He can. I really believe that you got to be faithful and you trust. And as I was faithful just to start using the set, God has given me a glimpse. I believe it's in Joshua. That God tells Joshua, see it. See it. Before they took the land. I've given you this land full of milk and honey. See it. Now, I want to tell you this. You have to see it. Now that I've seen the video, now that I've seen the movie, I've seen this studio that before I built it. I've seen this radio station before I've built it. When I go and preach and I go and minister, I see those places before I go. I see them. I see them. And I see these things in my heart, in my spirit. So being faithful, doing what God tells you to do, is going to bring a lot of things to you. But anyway, those are the things that are happening in our ministry. I can't wait for our next call that we're going to have in a few minutes. We're going to come back from this break, and we're going to have Pastor George Vargas. We'll be right back after this break. God bless. We'll be right back.
One Impact Live. There is one God. You are one person. You have one impact. Join us today to change the world. This is your life. What are you going to do with it?
It's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's troubles. We say we want to pray for them, and we'll bring it up even in prayer group, but what we really want to do is share the gossip of someone else's misfortune. Welcome to One Impact Live. I'm Terry Squires, and you've just tuned in to the 5-minute radio show that will impact your life and the lives around you. One Impact Live is all about the power of one. There is one true God. You are one person, and you have one impact. Do you know that by sharing your faith to one person, you can reach thousands? Not long ago, my husband surprised me with the opportunity to hear a very well-known author and speaker at a conference we were attending. I was so excited, and I made sure we got there on time. But within 5 minutes of this person's talk, I looked at my husband and I whispered, "I'm ready to go." I was so disappointed. You see, this world-known speaker opened the talk by bashing another well-known Christian who had made a mistake and fell miserably. And what surprised me more is that the audience, they all clapped. I was shocked. You know, the problem with Christians today is that we say one thing and do another. We talk about forgiveness and we say that we do, but do we really? We are so quick to shoot our wounded and pour buckets of salt on the wound. It's no wonder non-believers turn from Christianity and call us hypocrites. We need to change the way we think, what we do, and what we say. Jesus says in Matthew 5:37, "Let your yes be yes and your no be no," because anything else comes from the evil one. If we say we're going to forgive somebody, we need to forgive them. If we say, "Yes, I will pray for you," we need to pray for that person. There is only one person that I know that has ever lived a life free of sin, and his name is Jesus. And we must remember that. We all mess up. We all say things we regret. We all make big mistakes. But it's only by God's mercy, love, and grace through his son Jesus that we are forgiven. God never promised our life would be easy here. In fact, he said we'd face many trials in James 1:2-4. "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face many trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its race so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I love the last part of this verse because it's so important. Listen to these words again. "So that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Sometimes we're not ready for what God has to give us. We think we are, and then we get caught up in what the world has to offer us. We're not mature and we're not complete, and that's when we fall on our faces. Stay strong in what God has started in your life. Persevere, even if you've had a setback, even if you've messed up big time. Go to the one that can turn your life around and get back on this path to do what you were called to do, to be complete. He is the only one you should worry about what he thinks. Don't let others tell you you're not good enough. God has a plan and a purpose for your life, and he's waiting for you. This is your day to stand up, brush off all your troubles, and get going. If you have any comments, shoot me an email at www.oneimpactbible.com. I'm Terry Squires, and until next time, change a life and make your one impact.
Welcome back to the show, and you caught me over here talking on the phone. it just went dead, right? The signal just went dead. The song or our interview thing. So that's fine. We're good. But we have someone on the air with us right now. I'm going to introduce him, and he's someone that is so dear to my heart, so dear to just. We're just talking like we miss each other so much. God has knitted us and put our hearts together. That you know we think of each other all the time, and it's just a good. It's a good relationship that God has put together. Only God can give you those kind of relationships. Well, let's welcome to the show Pastor George Vargas. How are you doing, Pastor?
Cool, and what an honor it is to chat with you on this radio, Dr. David.
Amen. We're excited because not only are me and you friends, not only have I visited your church and know your family, but you went to India with me.
Yes, and what a time. I mean, it was... I guess it's we preach about the awesome and miracles and signs and wonders and the power of God and how the word works and everything, but this allowed me to witness firsthand the actual power of God and his outstretched hand doing mighty works and wonders, and I really thank God for that time with you, and yet I've learned so much from you at the same time, but it was just a wonderful, powerful time in the Lord.
What surprised you the most about India? I know we can just jump right in and just ask you that, because that's a question that I thought about. You know, I heard you preach a couple of services after we got back, and man, you're like, I'm going to preach on India for a long time.
I think what impacted me the most is that, if I can say this lightly but loosely, but in America, we have almost everything in our hand, and so there's not much of a desperation for a move of God. And what really impacted me the most in India and ministering to the people there is that there's a desperation, and there's no other source other than God and God alone, and that yearning for the desperation for a touch from God allowed them to witness the miracles of God. And I believe that that's really what impacted me so much. Although they might not have the necessary needs and stuff like that, but I believe when you're desperate enough, I believe that great things can happen, and that's what really impacted me the most.
Man, if we could see the hearts of Americans, and just any country that you go into, have the hearts like Indians that just say, I believe, it's all I can get. Imagine the impact that we would have on just this nation. Now, how about your church? What did they notice a difference when you got back?
I noticed a great difference, and I knew in my spirit, even before we left, I knew that was not only was I going to be impacted over there while I ministered, but I was going to be impacted when I came back. And I knew in my heart that I was not going to come back the same, and definitely I've not come back the same. Our church has been dramatically changed. As a matter of fact, we're doing a love over McAllen in the month of May, and we're doing an outreach to the whole area, the whole city of McAllen, so just over 100,000 people. We're going to do an outreach, and we're fixing to open up food pantry and stuff like that. But God has moved, and people are coming into the church. There's been a dramatic increase, and the Spirit of God is moving like it has not moved, and not in a while, but in a more present and powerful. Although the people with me sharing the testimonies and sharing the pictures has risen up even more faith to believe God for greater things, and all they want to see is the lost be found, and I believe that's what is done for our church.
Well, I tell you what, I've been to many churches, and your church was one of the churches that I just fell in love with. You know why I fell in love with them, Pastor? Not only because they were loving people, but because they loved you so much. It's an amazing thing to see a church that just loves their pastor so much. I mean, when we're putting this whole trip together, they were just coming in with everything, trying to be a blessing to you. I mean, Pastor came with 20 pounds of snacks. I gave him a letter that it kind of gave him like a little bit of list of things that you're supposed to have on the trip or you might want to have. And then I just put a little paragraph at the end or even a sentence that said, just think like you're an astronaut packing to go to the moon, and anything you don't bring, you're not going to find.
I was certainly packed to go to Mars. That's for sure.
I know.
And
you
as I announced it to the church, and everybody started bringing all kinds. As a matter of fact, I got to leave some stuff behind, and I was packed, man. It's no wonder I didn't have enough food in my suitcase to feed the whole nation of India. You know what I mean? But
it was funny, and then it's like we really didn't use those snacks until like the last few days or something, and we'd snack here and there. But then there was one day that we're about to head back, and it hit us. We needed snacks, and we gave all our snacks away. So we're pretty like, man, we had like suitcases full of snacks, and we gave them away. We're hungry.
And you know what? I'm kind of glad in a way, because these kids, especially the children, and they got to taste food and candies and stuff like that they've never eaten before. And I kind of praise God for it, and I kind of praise God for everything. But because at the very end, when I was giving kids, candy to the kids, and little cough drops, little girl took the cough drop, and she never tasted menthol or anything, but she's going like, ooh, ooh, like because menthol and the cough drop was kind of strong.
Yeah.
But as a matter of fact, it gave us an opportunity to show them this little taste of America. You know.
Amen.
So
amen.
It was good.
What are some of the miracles you remember that you could share? And we all worked in this corporate anointing. It was different because I never had taken any ministers with me to the parts that I go to out there in India, really the jungle. It's in the deepest parts of Orissa, the most, and the people on the station know this. My listeners know that it's the hardest place to reach in India. And when we would pray, I'd send Pastor George and Pastor Mike to go out there and just start laying hands on people. And y'all operated in the same gift that I operated in, which was the healing anointing, and y'all could feel it. What was some of the miracles that you seen?
I recall many miracles done through your hands, that's for sure. Many miracles done through Bishop's hands, too. And I remember one of the miracles that I saw through your hands, and I marveled within myself, because I said, wow, God, you're so good. And I remember that the gentleman who came to the church where we were ministering at in the evening and had a crooked leg, and you laid hands on him, you prayed for him, and the Lord healed him, and he lifted up walking. And I was taken in my heart and my spirit, and I said, Lord, if this could happen to the whole country, the whole nation, and not only physical healing, but spiritual healing, and anyway, so I said, I just to witness that, the feeling of it. And I remember towards the end, towards one of the last churches we ministered to, there was a little girl, an 8-year-old little girl, carrying another 8-year-old little girl, and she was carrying her, and I said, why are you carrying her? And I had an interpreter, and she says, because she's crippled from her leg, she can't walk. And so I remember laying hands on her, and I just prayed. I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I was praying for the ligaments and the bone structure and muscles and everything to return back to its normal stage. But I remember feeling the snap, the bones snapping, yep, and yep, moving, like it was by itself, by just power of God touching. And my hands are feeling the power of God as the leg is, it's like, going back to his, because it was crooked, it was bent backwards, so it was just popping back towards a normal place. And I told the little girl that was carrying her, I said, go ahead and let her down. She goes, no, she can't walk. I said, let her down. I said, she can walk, and she will not only walk, but run. And finally, she let her down. And the little girl, I grabbed her hand, I said, follow me, and she's walking with me, and I'm walking her around, and the little girl just crying. And anyway, long story short, at the end of the service, they both ran out holding hands. It's just phenomenal to witness things like that, and, you know, the deaf hearing, and the mute speaking, as you, all of us witnessed that. And I mean, I think there were so many things that God did in India and even in Africa, that some of the things we probably don't even know about, that we didn't get a chance to hear the testimonies. But I do know that God did show up and God visited India. I do know that for a fact.
Amen. And one thing that I really enjoyed that you shared with me and with Pastor Mike was that you mentioned that you, when you were talking to your wife over Skype or however you were talking to her from India, that you said it was like people are coming to the doctor. And they're leaving with their miracles and their healings, and that's pretty much how it was. They're like coming to a big clinic, and God was just touching every one of them. You want to expound on that, brother?
Yes. Especially that came from, and believe it or not, and a lot of this credit goes to the man of God who I'm speaking with, Dr. David Yanis. Your heart and your dedication, sir, your love, and your desperation that you carry, you're not selfish, and to see the world want for Jesus has catapulted me and has done a change in my life, and I believe it's bringing changes to the place you're going to, and I believe it's just the beginning of the rest that is yet to come.
Amen.
And that said, when I said that about people coming because they needed a doctor and they were being healed, I saw that, and I saw that when you, the first church you got to minister, and I saw the hunger, and I saw the need, and these people weren't coming. I mean, and you said, what really blessed me when you said the last time that some of these areas had been visited by the gospel of Jesus Christ was about 20 years ago. And I said, so 20 years ago, from 20 years worth of desperation, of hunger, of waiting for God to show up and visit India again, had to have brought up I'm talking about enough phenomenal power of faith waiting. And when they saw us, I believe they I remember one of them and said, when we saw you all, we saw the Lord, and he said, God has come back to visit us. And when my wife asked me how was it, I said, honey, this is like a hospital. It is like a doctor's office, and many people go to the doctor to get medication so that they can get healed. You know, many will go for it, but normally in America we just get well because we don't have that faith in the Word yet. But I'm going to say that. But at the same time, I said they're coming in because they want freedom. They want chains broken off. They freedom from adversity, whatever it is, they're going through, sickness, disease, whatever it is, poverty. And they're coming in, and they're not they've decided with themselves that they refuse to leave the air, the service without getting what they come for. And I believe that's what got them their miracles. And then that's why I told my wife, it's like they're coming to a position and they're not coming out, not unless they know they're going to get a touch. And they're not walking out without their breakthrough. And that's what I saw, sir.
Amen. Amen. And like Pastor George mentioned, that area had not been ministered to by not only for 20 years, but also by anyone foreigner. We're the first foreigners to actually get permission by the government and get permission by the police department to be out there ministering the gospel. And they gave us an order that no one would disturb us. And they guaranteed that we'd be safe and that we had till 3 o'clock on Sunday to be out of the district, and we had to cut some of our churches back because of traveling, and normally I just go and I'm glad I had my pastor friends with me this time, because I didn't really take too much of a body shock like I usually do when I come back home. It wasn't that hard on me as I thought it was like the last few years, and they were able to absorb some of the preaching for me and praying for people, and it helped. And I tell you what, I seen some great things out there, and next time we go back, Pastor, we're going to be able to go to a different area, and we're going to see the power of God move in those spots too. How are you back on your recovery? Did you take a few days or something to get recovered when you got back?
I took 3 days. We got back on that Tuesday, didn't go to church on Wednesday, and I took the whole week off, and then we had a leaders meeting on Friday. But I took a few days, and I think that although my physical body was a little tired, but my spirit was so, I mean, I was just full of energy because I just could not, saw like everything was so bottled up inside.
Yeah.
And I was just dying to share with people what God had done in India and what God had done in Africa. I was just, people needed to, because they, you know what I mean? Sometimes they said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony. And I wanted so much to share with them. But yeah, I did recuperate. As a matter of fact, I recuperated a little bit too much. The pounds that I had lost, I ended up gaining them back in no time at all, that's for sure.
You know what? I've been able to keep some of it off of me. I've been working out more now since I got back. But I tell you what, it was an amazing trip. Was it what you expected, Pastor?
I'm sorry?
Was it what you expected when you went out there?
To be honest with you, Dr. David, that I believe it was more than what I expected.
Amen.
I really expected God to move. Not that I was an unbelieving. I do believe God for great things, but when you've been in a country where everything is given to you by government and people who don't trust more in government, stuff like that, I was expecting a great move of God, but as the one that I witnessed there, it was beyond what I expected. God does not give you a drop on a bucket. God will give you an outpouring. You know, when we ask God for something, God is not a God who just give you a little bit. God is a God of abundance. You know what I mean? You know, He opens up the windows of heaven, pours out on you. Whatever it is He asks for, He doesn't give you little. And so it was beyond what I expected. Also, and the impact I got from you as a minister, as a man of God, and the way you ministered and your seasoned life. I learned a lot from you and Bishop Renteria. I really did learn, because y'all been in the ministry for quite a way longer than I have. But I got to witness that, and so while at the same time I was witnessing the power of God moving and being able to minister to the people, I was also being ministered in some more ways than others by them as well, and by y'all. So that's what I.
Amen. So what are some of the memories from Africa that you have?
The memories from Africa. The good ones or the hard ones?
You know, Africa was more like a mission vacation because of the hotel and the food, and it was a little bit more Americanized. I told the guys before we left Dubai, I was like, okay, I'm gonna take you to hell, but I'm gonna bring you back because we're about to fly to India, and it was different. I mean, it was different.
And then you know, the good ones. What I'm talking about, good ones, is the people's heart.
Amen.
Their beautiful smile. And, you know, the hard ones was to, it's so hard, and I'm trying to keep my tears back, but it's so hard to see people living in such bad conditions.
Yeah.
And it's so hard to see people hungry. And it's hard, the little girl she was abandoned by the mom, and she was 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old. She was taking care of her little brother, who was 2 years old, carrying him. and the people there were the ones that were taking turns to feed her, and that was hard. That was hard to witness for me, to see people living in the dumps and stuff like that. That was really hard for me to witness that, because I said this should not be allowed. You know what I mean? Where's the men and the women of God? Where is not God, but God's there, but God's waiting on somebody to move. But that left a lasting impression on me. But and you know what was also that really blessed me, Dr. David Yannis, is that we went there, and there are some areas that are so religious, they're so set to a one way of worship, and they're not open, that there's more to the gospel than there is to read. You know, and as it says in chapter 9, verse 6, is that out of Jesus, you will never be able to. You'll never be out. You know, out him. In other words, he will never come time when Jesus said, "I have no more to give to you." You'll never be able to get to that point. And when we went there, there was so much revelation that God used us all to pour into them, that there was something that they had never heard before, that it broke some of the demonic hindrances, it broke the devil's power, it broke the spirit of religion, it broke all these things that they just had hang on to, and allowed them to expand their belief, expand, you know, just to enlarge the tent and put themselves in a place where it can get better. There's more to this than what we're witnessing. That God is a greater God than this, and that really impacted me. When that happened, they remember when they asked you, says, "We've never heard teachings like this before." And I was so glad that God allowed us or used us to go and bring something that was different, something that a change, you know what I mean? And I believe God is a God of change. He's saying yes, he's sitting forever, but God is a generational God. He always has something. He doesn't keep you in one place all the time, but God is always a God who moves people, you know, and moves people from the place that to a better place, of glory from glory to level. And that was very impacting to me.
Amen. And they loved you there. And we were able to, we had a pastor's conference there, then we had an evening crusade at night. And we're in a really slum area where we had the crusade stuff. And we were able to tell them about the people that came out of the bar. there are people coming out of the bar that were drunk, wanted to receive the Lord. And I know you talked to, tell them about the crusade night. I mean, I know you talked to a few people, you paid for a few people as well. Tell them some of the testimonies.
Some of the testimonies, well, when we were ministering, I remember the people coming out of the bars, coming, one of the persons got delivered and set free right there, and he was actually drunk under the influence of alcohol, and for some reason he became sober. There was a young little girl, and I don't know if you remember her, but she had Down syndrome, and we ministered to her, and well, we didn't see any change in that moment, but we did pray for her, I remember. But I remember the next day she came back, and she was so totally in her right mind. God had delivered her from Down syndrome, but she still had, you know, the look that she had before. And I asked the Lord, "Well, how come the look is still there, yet she's in her right mind?" And the Lord says, "I allowed that look to be there so that she would be a witness to me." And there was a, I don't know if you remember the man who was from the tribal part of Africa, and he was wearing his tribal clothes and those big earrings. He was standing behind me.
Yes, I remember.
And we're on top of that. Remember, we're worshiping God, and you were preaching, and we had the praise and worship team and stuff like that. And I was jumping up and down, and I would look behind me, and he was looking at me. And the very first time I looked at him, he was looking at me kind of with an ugly face, like, you know, I really don't enjoy it. I really don't like it. You're in my territory. And I kept on worshiping God. And I remember turning again, and so that frown was turned into a smile. And towards the very end, I looked at him, and he had the biggest smile on his face. And I remember jumping off the stage and going to him. And I looked at him, and he smiled at me. And I said, "What can I do for you?" And then he told the interpreter, he says, "I want to have what you all have." And we asked him, "What is it?" He said, "I want to be happy. I want to dance, and I want to have joy like you have it." And that's when I led him to Christ. And actually, he was actually one of the very few people that when I told him about the gospel of Jesus Christ, he went all the way down to his knees. And he was a tall man, and I'm a very short man of stature. I'm 5'3". This guy was almost like 6'9" or something.
Oh, wow.
He bent down on his knees, and he was crying, and he received the Lord. And it was just so humble and so impacting for me to see this man give his life to God. And it's funny that Bible says, you know, preach, you know. And St. Francis of Assisi says, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If necessary, use words. And also, he didn't know what we were saying. He didn't know why we were jumping up and down. He didn't know we were just worshiping God. He didn't even know the God we were worshiping. But yet he saw something that he wanted a part of. And I think that was very powerful. And I believe that's why people were coming in from different areas of the, you know, from the bars and coming in from the houses and stuff. They're coming in because they were hearing something that didn't sound very familiar, something that sounded kind of not strange, but strange sound to them, but something that had life in it. And I think people, that's what impacted people when people were coming in to see what was going on.
Amen. Amen. And I remember the gentleman from the bar, you testified about your testimony, about your life and about, you know, the things that happened with you. And he heard your testimony and he could see himself in it. And he came out and he talked. And it's amazing that he talked to you directly and told you that. So God was definitely moving in Africa. And that's a new work for us. And that was our first year to actually do work. Pastor Mike and Pastor George helped me go do some groundbreaking out there. And we believe that God's going to build off of that, and we're going to go back this year and visit again and minister out there. And India, of course, I've been there for doing so much work out there and being faithful. In just 2 minutes, Pastor, tell everybody the importance about being faithful.
The importance, the Bible says in Joel 2:27, the just shall live by faith, by faithfulness. For anybody who's listening to us today, you don't have to go to Africa, you don't have to go to India to receive an impartation and a miracle from God and a move of God. My recommendation, my advice for you is stay strong. I don't care if you've been seasoned in the Lord, walking with the Lord for 30 years, or maybe you just met Jesus for the first time. Get back up, turn to the right direction, and keep on walking. Because the God who started something in you is faithful to complete it. All you have to do is persevere. Be like that. Dr. Deviana was talking about Joseph. And although they put him in a pit and they sold him to slavery and they took the coat of many colors off him, but this guy was in prison. He went through all kinds of situations. But one thing they could not take away from him, and that is a faith that he had inside of him out of a vision and a dream that God had given to him. And he knew that as long as he stayed faithful with God and stayed strong with God, he was going to get to see it come to pass. And not only did it change him and change those around him, but it changed countries and nations were impacted by this man's faith. And I could say the same thing for whoever's listening today, that you can impact nations. And all you have to do is to start with yourself and determine yourself to say, this day I'm gonna get back up. And maybe you've fallen, maybe you lost the dream, maybe you lost the vision, maybe you forgot who you're calling. Get back up. Those who seek the Lord will find him. And when you find him, you find your direction. And my prayer is to you that you may just persevere and refuse to be denied, refuse to give up. And not everybody will follow you. It doesn't matter. Not everybody followed Joseph. But one thing's for sure.
Amen.
Joseph remained faithful, and Joseph got his breakthrough, and everybody ended up getting impacted by him. So that's really what I can share with that.
Amen. Pastor, before you go, I want you to pray for everyone that's listening.
I sure will. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that the word says many are called and very few are chosen. And the word chosen means that very few are picked out. And the reason the few are picked out, because there's very few that stay strong, that stay connected with you, Father. Father, I pray that today, Lord God, may these testimonies, Lord God, just move everyone's spirit that is listening to the sound of my voice, Father. I pray, Lord God, for it to be like that fire shut up in their bones, Lord God. It'd be like the scripture says when Jesus said, the zeal for your house consumes me. When he said that, you said, Jesus, because I am so engulfed, so filled with the Holy Ghost that I can't stop. I can't stop doing what I'm doing. I need to keep on going. Father, I pray, Lord God. I pray for that, Lord God. I pray for the fire of your spirit, Lord God, to just burn inside of them, Lord God. And they look unto you, Lord God, and they trust in you, Lord God. I pray that the peace that surpasses all understanding may guard their minds and hearts, Lord God, because of faithful one who called them is sure to make sure that all things will work together for those that love you, those that are called according to your purpose, oh God. Bless everyone at the sound of my voice, oh God. And I pray that nations may rise up within themselves, oh God, and empowerment, oh God, the gifts and the talents, oh God, may be used for your kingdom and for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor George, man, I wish you had more time. We have to bring you back because we went through that time quick. Amen. I'll give you a call in just a little bit, but thank you for being on the show. And please give your ministry's website so people can go to your website.
I certainly will. And Dr. Deviana, thank you, because it's an honor to be with you on your on your powerful station that's about to increase, and may God bless you, and may you increase. May God just take you to places that you've not even thought of. And thank you once again, sir, for allowing me to be a part of your program.
Oh, you're more than welcome. It's an honor having you in my life, and you've built me up, and you've encouraged me, and I tell you, God was talking to you the whole time, the whole trip, and you're just pouring into me. And I tell you, this last month, I really needed those. I just had to reflect on what God poured into me through you, and it really carried me on a lot of different levels. And I got to tell you that I'm honored just to be your friend and to visit with you. And I know when I go to McAllen, I have a place to stay all the time, so that's cool.
Absolutely. Mi casa es tu casa.
Amen. Do you have your Facebook or your website you want to share with everybody?
Yes, website is Freedom Center Church, rgv.org. That is our website right there. And you can always log us up on Facebook. It's at Freedom Center, 77@yahoo.com.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again, Pastor. I'll talk to you in just a little bit. God bless you. Goodbye.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. That was Pastor Vargas, and it's hard not to call him by his first name because I love him so much, but I just call him Pastor Vargas when we're in public. Pastor George. He's a good, great man. He's a great man, and he's part of the team that went. And next week, hopefully, or the week after, we'll have Pastor Mike. I got to see his schedule and see if we can get him in as well. But Pastor George, one thing about Pastor George, and I'm going to tell you this before we close, and even though we're just going a little bit over, it doesn't matter to me. Hey, it's my station. It's my show. I can do this, and praise God. But I can tell you this. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of prayer and a man of worship, and he just has faith. He just has faith, and he encourages me. And I tell you what, he has such a big heart. He will make sure that if he has something in his life, he wants to see you have it in your life. If he can preach to you and get you to it, he will. If not, he just probably give it to you. The man's so amazingly in love with God, and we're gonna see him again. Hopefully, I'll go out there next few months. I'll go out and visit them. But anyway, that was a great show. Again, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Please think about broadcasting with us, with your church. If your church services are out there and you will need a place to broadcast, we are open to do that. I'll show you how. And also be open to being a blessing to this ministry to help carry it forward and do the things we want. I mean, we're on radio, we're on internet right now. My heart is to get us on satellite, to get us on XM and Sirius Radio. That is my heart, to get out there into that audience. But you know what? I go at God's pace, and I work what I have in front of me, and God will open the doors all the time. Amen, my friends. We'll catch you next time on the Midwatch. Be sure to catch us next week. We'll have Marty Makowski on Tuesday afternoon. God bless you. We'll be back next Tuesday. Love you.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.